I'm very excited. I haven't had port in ages.
And for those of you just tuning in, Jay has port.
Port.
Sounded kind of like a rain
is
man.
Is that type. Like any?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Any port in a storm, Jay?
Any port in a storm.
Oh, God.
And ironically, the port that I like really well is like this super cheap stuff. It's awesome.
You're going to have to tell me what brand and stuff, because I've never had port. Taylor's port.
Taylor's. And it's okay. Literally like this I picked up at the grocery store because I was in a mood. And it's a normal size, like a 750-ml bottle. And it was like, I don't know, like $7.
Oh.
But you can get the liter and a half at BJ's Warehouse for $8.50. And it's pretty decent stuff, at least to my unsophisticated palate.
All right.
I read a thing today. I will try.
I was going to say, I mean, I'm sure it's aged in someone's underpants, but, you know, hey, I like
it. As long as you like it, Jay.
Right.
You get that nutty flavor.
Corny flavor.
Oh, Alan. That was terrible.
I read a thing today that said that while gasoline prices have gone down because no one's driving, liquor prices have gone up.
Because
everyone's drinking.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's just it. Coronavirus is going to lead to cirrhosis. It's going to be cirrhosis virus.
Well,
but it's okay.
People were going to die from staying home. So
it's because we have a new coronavirus expert out there.
That's right.
According to CNN, in their global town hall on coronavirus, they have invited the noted virologist, Greta Thunberg, to be part of this.
Is that serious? Like I looked at it and I thought to myself, are they kidding?
As far as I could tell, they were serious about that.
Well, you know, Jay, if you think about it, she knows as much about viruses as she did about global warming.
Well, I mean, that's true.
So,
but CNN, do you hear yourselves?
No, they don't.
No.
Yeah, no.
I just don't understand who they are selling that to. Like
a shitload of empty airplane terminals.
I guess.
Maybe they figure nobody's watching anyway, so.
I'm trying to figure out, like, also, who, like, orchestrated that? Did her parent, because she has these notably, like, voracious
stage parents,
right? So did her parents like call CNN and say Greta hasn't been in the news and she's getting lonely or what? I don't know.
I think it works that way.
It could. I mean she's, I don't know.
I think it's more likely that some PA at CNN was trying to get some panel together and somebody said, hey Greta.
But why?
Because
they'd heard the name.
Because Greta.
Yeah, well, because they couldn't exactly say it's a coronavirus panel with nothing but old Obama hacks who are going to say nothing but bad things about Trump. Instead, they bring in Greta Thunberg, who has, I don't know for a fact, but I'm going to go ahead and say zero fucking virology background so that it can be a global town hall on coronavirus where they tear Trump to shreds.
Oh, I see. So they needed someone foreign.
Yes, we get the non-US person, so they can, we're fair and balanced. I almost said that with a straight face.
It's the port talking.
It's just bizarre to me. It's the port.
Yeah, it's of course the Guardian steps right in. Oh, why shouldn't they have Greta Thunberg?
For various reasons. Lots.
But again,
I just really think I don't know.
She isn't a COVID-19 expert.
Again, she's not.
But she's
world
renowned.
She wasn't an expert on anything.
Right.
No.
I mean.
What? I love that. She's world renowned activist using her platform to inform people about the pandemic. You know who else is world renowned? Fucking Gallagher. Remember him from the 80s? He went around smashing watermelons with a fucking sledgehammer.
He was funny.
I'll bet.
Is he still alive?
Renowned? I don't know. I think so. His career is not, but
Well, you know,
Bobcat Goldthwait is world renowned. You know, well, he's dead. I was going to say.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Charlie Manson is was world renowned.
He's dead too.
Yes. Yes. Also, you know, dead. I mean, being famous. It's the be all and end all. You know, I would take the head of microbiology at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst over Greta Thunberg.
Yeah, but Jay.
Yeah, all day, every day.
But Jay, they got Greta Thunberg because Kim Kardashian's a Trump supporter. and
which actually makes sense because, you know, she has money.
Right. I mean, they're just catering to their target demographic.
Idiots?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, who else is going to watch CNN?
I don't know. The whole thing is baffling to me. Yes. And I'm having trouble with Skype again tonight, just FYI.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I don't know if I'm cutting out for you guys, but you guys are definitely cutting out for me.
You have not cut out yet.
Yeah, you sound
so
fine.
I'll try
here.
Not to say anything embarrassing, you know.
No. when my
sound comes
on the beep button.
Okay. I apologize in advance to everybody. I think you guys and our 10 listeners.
That's okay, Brita. We'll have Greta Thunberg on.
You can have her co-host next week.
She's noted podcaster. Oh, this has now got to be a running joke.
Podcasting expert Greta Thunberg.
My car's been acting up. I'm going to have to call noted mechanic Greta Thunberg.
You know, she knows as much about car mechanics as she does about global warming and virology. I mean, come on.
You know, I don't know. I didn't watch. I'm not going to watch. I don't even know if it's been on or is going to be on. I don't know if it's that they're that fucking clueless or if this is going to be like a, oh, it's because of global warming that the coronavirus spreads so much because everything is related.
Oh, my God, no. Like, how?
Yeah. You know, so, you know, I mean, completely because history began this morning. You know, because we obviously never had any, you know, pandemics before the Industrial Revolution. Sorry, I just rolled my eyes so hard I saw the back of my skull.
I know, right? We just watched a documentary on the Black Death. I think it's on.
You saw Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
No.
Yes, I know you're not a Monty Python fan.
Only once in my life have I watched that, and that's enough. But
is it because they're English? Is that it?
That's part of it, yeah. English and ugly, and not really all that funny.
Then you won't like my latest obsession, then.
Okay.
Top Gear, or more precisely, Grand Tour.
How is this your latest obsession? Hasn't this been around a while?
It's been around forever, but with more time, I've been...
Oh, I see. You've been able to catch up.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we haven't watched that either.
So British and ugly kind of sums up.
Although I have to say that I just got finished watching the Detectorists, which is a British show, and the characters are not they're British and ugly, but it is Google it. It is a lovely, lovely show. If anybody gets a chance to watch it, it's about people who are quirky and have quirky hobbies and their lives and them, you know, and you can kind of relate on a certain level because they're quirky and are weird, kind of nerdy people.
They're not just quirky. They are super, super nerdy.
Super nerdy, yeah. But super I got nerdy. So anyway, it's a great show, but totally sidetracked.
Debilitatingly super nerdy.
Well, yeah, it's a good show. It's three seasons, and it's like a complete story in three seasons. So
I really enjoyed it. It's a good show.
I recommend. What was I talking about before this?
You were about to say something, but you never.
A documentary on the plague. Documentary.
The plague. Yeah, yeah. And Mike and I were watching it, and there are so many parallels as to as far as like how people react to a pandemic and how
stupidly
how it spreads. And of course, London was completely devastated by the plague in what was it, 1349 or something. And they still have people's wills from that time, and that's kind of how they tracked. Yeah, handwritten wills from, like, you know, 1350 or something. And it just was fascinating. But also, you know, you watch it and, like, it was, like, I think it was, like, 60% of people died. That was their estimate judging on, wow, like, the wills. And, yeah, 6 out of 10 people died of the plague. And it was all in 1 year.
Yikes.
Yeah, and so you had like this, before the plague hit London, they had a famine because of climate change. They said climate change in the documentary. And I looked at Mike, I rolled my eyes. I'm like, seriously, climate change?
Come it on. Got colder.
Yes, it got colder.
That was
and
the
it
climate.
It rained all summer. It rained all summer. And so people like, there was a famine because there, you know, crops didn't grow and people are hungry and, you know, whatever. And then the plague came.
Yeah. So people were inside a lot more.
Yeah. And they were inside a lot more. And,
they didn't have noted expert Greta Thunberg.
Greta Thunberg to tell them how to live their lives. No. But it was interesting. But they had the same thing happen with New York, where people started getting sick in London, and the rich people left the city and spread the plague.
Right.
Which is what they believe happened in New York.
It's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So
why?
You know, 60% of people died, and then there was this big spike, and then like the spike died, and it was because everybody was going to die of the plague already died.
Yep. And interestingly enough, that was the end of, that was really the end of the land, the serf tied to the land in England. Because so many people died.
Oh, right.
There was, you know, prior to that, you were basically a slave to the Lord who owned your land. And after that, people started to move around because they could, because there wasn't anyone to tell them no anymore.
There weren't any pesky people around to tell them they couldn't.
Right. So, yeah. And there's all this stuff lying around, you know, empty houses and empty villages and, you know, things like that. So, yeah, they still, what's freaky about the Black Plague is all the stuff that, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years later, it's still there, right? You know, they got the plague books that you can actually catch the plague from handling.
Yes.
You know, they have the graves where it, you know, if you're, cause one thing I've learned from watching these like shows on YouTube and stuff about like hunting for relics in England is the fucking place is littered, literally littered with bare. I mean, they're probably walking on the whole fucking island's a graveyard. I mean, they're just everywhere you go, they're digging up dead people. And when they dig up these graves from, you know, the Black Plague, you can still catch it.
Yeah. Everybody has to wear hazmat suits.
Yes. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Yep.
Freaky.
Which kind of makes you wonder if that's like where the whole, you know, the archaeologist opening the tomb,
ooh,
and they release this horrible spirit. If that's what happened, you know, the former occupant, you know, died of explosive diarrhea, and they sealed him in the tomb, and 500 years later, an archaeologist comes along and brings it right back, which. Interesting thought question for all the squirrels out there. what length of time has to expire to turn grave robbing into archaeology?
Yeah, that's my, I've always wondered that too.
You know, there's like, you know, because somebody died 10 years ago and you dig up his grave, it's like, no, oh, it's a grave robber, that's horrible.
Yeah.
If it's 500 years, you're like, ooh, we're going to exhume the body and discover things about them. And it's archaeology and it's noble and you got Indiana Jones. Whereas you've got, you know, grave robbing, you got Dr. Frankenstein.
I'm coming down on it's all grave robbing. 100%. I don't care how old it is. If you're digging somebody up and exploiting it, it's grave robbing.
Well, it's like, what if you're not exploiting it? What if you're like doing science?
Uh-huh. And that's totally exploiting.
I don't know. I think archaeologists feel as if there's nobody alive today that could remember
or complain about it.
Or complain about it, probably is fair game. I don't know.
Of course, that's what they tell themselves, because they don't want to be grave robbers.
This is also why I'm getting cremated, by the way.
Yeah, you don't want anybody digging you up.
I don't want somebody poking around in my bones and look at my weird bones. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. They'll you know, 500 years from now, they'll exhume your grave, and they'll go, oh look at this primitive 21st century man.
Woman. I'm a woman, Alan.
Well, I was using the generic term.
Oh, okay.
You know, and they'll you know, it's like, well, no, it's
you
like,
see, Alan.
They'll look at it and they'll go, oh, look, the they were so primitive back then. Just like
I'm
we
just
look
curious
at
to see how now. Alan digs himself out of this hole.
I know.
What? I'm not in a hole. I don't.
Oh, goodness.
Hey.
You know, like, okay. You know, so we flash forward to, let's say it's the Star Trek era, and they have transporters, and they could lock on to the remains and beam them up, study them, and beam them right back.
Ooh.
Is that archaeology or grave robbing?
It's grave robbing. You know why?
Because you're still disturbing.
No, because the transporter destroys what it transports.
That's true. That's a good point. That
destroys
good
what? Point.
That's super nerdy, Alan, and I love you
for
knowing
it. Oh, because it destroys and puts it back together?
Yes. It's so,
oh,
it recreates
God. That is
it.
So nerdy.
So
it is super nerdy, and I'm like,
And really, you know, knowing what we know about the Star Trek universe, are you really going to trust that pattern before to get it right? I mean, come on. Come on.
The transporter is a hell of a lot better than the holodeck. Let's just put it that way. I'm just like, obviously, there's no OSHA in the 24th century.
You know, it's like Star Trek is like the number one example of why technology probably not such a great idea. All the shit that goes wrong all the time.
The best part is, it's like after like the 14th or 15th accident, they were like, you know, we're going to weld this door shut and we're not going to ever speak to this area again. Because that's totally what would happen. You know, it's just like, no, well, done. I mean, you just set the phaser on weld. Zzz, done. There you go. Have Worf do it in an afternoon. There you go. Stay the hell away. Put up tape. I don't care. Every time someone goes in there, they bring back Dr. Moriarty from Sherlock Holmes. Turn off the safety valves on machine guns. The hell? Why don't we just, you know, we'll find a corner of the starship where you can juggle chainsaws. It'll be less dangerous to the rest of the crew.
Right. And you know, Jay, they really don't have an excuse because, you know, being the future, they certainly would have been able to see the Lawnmower Man. They know what happens with VR, right?
Yeah. You know, one would hope.
So,
but again, they also did not have noted holodeck expert Greta Thunberg to help them out.
That's right.
Number one reference that I am ramming into the ground.
I like it.
Oh, goodness. So...
I'm so confused right now. On top of like the quarantine, being home every day and not knowing what day it is, you switched back our day to the score report.
Oh, that's right.
So we were doing Thursday. Friday for a while. So now in my head, like, it's Friday. Tomorrow's Saturday. I can sleep in. Nope. I got to go to work.
Nope.
Speaking of, this week was my first week back in the library.
Since March 13th.
Yeah, since March. It's been 2 months. And this week we have reopened the library just to staff. We're going to be open for curbside service on the day after Memorial Day. And right now we're just like, we have two teams of staff and, you know, we're alternating. So because of quarantine or, I don't know, somebody gets sick, we only have to, you know, quarantine half the staff, whatever. But it's been a weird week and an exhausting week. An entirety of 10 hours around my coworkers. I'm fucking exhausted.
Well, I'm curious how the curbside checkout works. Do like people like call in and be like, hey, I need a copy of Catcher of the Rye. I'm going to be in a gray Camry. So you like walk to the door and just kind of huck Catcher at the Rye at the gray Camry. Like, here,
chuck it at the car.
You yeet
it. Good luck.
Just yeet it. Just
yeet it at the car.
You just yeet it right at the car.
Well, it's pretty close, yeah.
See, now I'm envisioning like a very sophisticated book catapult where you're just like, release J.D. Salinger.
That'd be great. I wish we had a drive-thru.
The book trebuchet. And then the people, you could issue little library lacrosse sticks so people could catch them, like Archer with grenades.
Oh, boy.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, nothing that elaborate. Although we might wear face masks, like the shields, you know, the plastic. Yeah.
Or at least have a very like overtly Rube Goldberg-esque long like slide that's actuated by marbles.
I have sent Brita several links to those long, like 6 foot long grabber hand things.
The grabby sticks.
Grabby sticks. And I'm thinking that would be perfect. You put the book in the grabby stick and you hold it out to the person in the car and you get to stay 6 feet away.
This is Brita we're talking about, Alan. I envisioned the book would be impaled on the end of a halberd.
Well, that
from like 10 feet away.
Except the
take your damn book. That's true.
The other way you could do it is like they do with like mailbags on trains where they just kind of drive by and hook
just
the
leave
rope.
It in the sack. Yeah.
And hook the sack as they drive by.
Yeah.
You could give them little tiny lances and they have to actually pick it off the hook with the lance.
That'd be great.
You could like library jousting.
Oh, man.
If you get real lucky, you can get the hobos involved.
Oh, God. One of our hobos died. We found out during pandemic. She died.
Really? In the library?
Not in the library, but she was like a notorious hobo and she died. And I have to, this is going to sound really mean. Really mean.
Did she die of the COVID-19 or something else?
No, I don't know. I have no idea. We don't know what she died of, but.
Well,
but
it doesn't matter because she died of COVID-19. So.
The death certificate said, according to the CDC, it was COVID-19.
Whenever I'm away from the library, like for, you know, extended period of time, vacation or whatever, I come back and I go back to work. Eventually one of the problematic, annoying hobos will show up and I'll say to myself, God damn it, they're still alive. And finally, I can't say that about her anymore. This is the woman that would come in and like make us talk to her about vaginal yeast cream.
Ew.
Yeah.
This is where it's a good thing that's not Zoom. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. I'm making that face that I'm horrified beyond the capacity for rational thought. Yes.
Yeah. She would love to do it to like the new librarian or like when we would have a substitute or it was like her joke. She knew she was annoying and she did it on purpose and she knew she was like horrifying everybody. But, you know, rest in peace, Judy Sluga.
I would be so tempted to, you know, pull up that from the Breakfast Club, the book of medical oddities.
Yeah, she was a medical oddity.
Elephantitis of the nuts. Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, goodness. So, yes.
So it's been a weird week.
Rest in peace, past library hobo.
Yeah. Weird week. And on top of it, everything, like, I have come to kind of discover that I'm basically in charge of everything. So it's great. Because nobody else knows what's going on. Woohoo.
So you're like queen of the library.
Kind of. At the moment.
That's kind of awesome.
No, it's not. I'm not paid to be queen of the library.
Do you get to sit on a throne of skulls of your enemies?
Not yet. I'm working on it, Jay.
Oh, not yet. Okay, good. Good, good, good.
So, anyway.
So, what else do we have? Oh, Alan had an interesting story.
What's Alan's story?
Oh, yeah. Are you ready to be mad?
Which one?
Are you ready to make the squirrels angry?
Which one?
Oh, you know the one, Alan. Certain back pay?
Oh.
Alan's already getting his angry face on.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, remember the school shooting in Florida, the Parkland? And you remember the guy that cowered behind his car and wouldn't go in?
Yes.
And
was he a deputy or a sheriff or what?
He was the RSO.
Yeah, he was a sergeant something or other. He was
Essentially
SRO.
Yeah, he was like
school resource officer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and he hid behind his car and didn't even answer his radio and didn't do anything.
Not true. He stopped other cops from going in.
Right, but they have him on video like hiding behind his car. So I mean it was and he got fired. Because, he sucks. So, the union. Now, the thing that really pissed me off. Okay, there's two things that pissed me off. One is the union sued and got him reinstated with back pay.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So, he has to get his job back. And he's now, who's going to work with that motherfucker? And,
no one.
On. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, you know how much that guy got paid in 2017?
I don't want to know.
Oh, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, God. I intentionally have not looked at the figure.
It'll make you sick.
Okay.
$138,410.
A year.
Yeah, in 2017.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
To not do your job.
Yeah. And then when, when it came down to, having to do his job, he hid behind his car.
Well, I mean, does that go along with the whole police thing where the police are not required to risk themselves to save people?
My guess is that probably figured into him being reinstated.
Yeah,
sure. That's what it was. However,
I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
School resource officers are going to have different rules of engagement. Certainly not more. I mean, they should. That was the paradigm we were told up and down changed after Columbine, because everyone remembers the iconic footage of the cops all huddled together behind the armored vehicle, it was an armored vehicle, but they were huddled together in the parking lot several hundred yards away from where the shooting was happening.
This is pretty egregious, because this guy, Miller was the first supervisor on the scene, but hid behind his police car without radioing in for 10 minutes. As shots were fired inside the school.
What?
Failed,
he didn't call in?
Failed to immediately enter the high school, drove away from the gunfire to another part of campus to put on his bulletproof vest.
Yikes, dude.
Never activated his body camera and then told investigators he didn't know where the shooting was coming from.
So he lied?
Of course he didn't. Of course he didn't call it in. If he called it in, he would be obligated to go in.
Well, you know, here's
that
the
was
thing.
One of the big changes you're, that they brought about from Columbine.
You're obligated to go in. I'm sorry. If you put on the uniform, it's like being in the military. You know, they can make that. Yes, okay. I totally understand the whole cops can't be held liable for any one individual's death or crime or anything like that because it's stupid. But if you put on the uniform, you are obligated to go in when called upon. It's like if you're a fireman. If you put on the uniform, you're obligated to go into the fire. If you're, you know, Coast Guardman, if you put on the uniform, you're obligated to go out and try to save people. If you're in the military, you're obligated when ordered to go take that hill. And it's just what you do. And you know that. Yep. So the idea of a cowardly cop that hides behind, I mean, this guy didn't even pretend, you know, he could have, it is not difficult in the face of a shooting to make it look like you're
right.
Trying to do something. He didn't even do that.
Mm.
You know, he ran away and hid.
He was Sir Robin.
Yes. Brave Sir
Robin.
He bravely
ran away.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's horrible. And what's really horrible is, you know, there are a lot of police officers in that force that now have to, this shitbag has to come in and work.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, he's not going to last.
I think he'll
months.
Probably be, I think he's probably going to be looking for a career change probably pretty soon, or at least a location change where not everyone is so familiar with his history, you know?
Yeah. He'll move to some other city and get a job with some other, you know, some other
finish up his last days to get his retirement
where they don't know who the hell he is. And you know,
but yeah, $138,000.
I mean,
wow.
I've heard cops bitch about not, you know, being underpaid, and I'm sure a lot of them are, but goddamn.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've actually heard a lot. Without going too deep into it, I happen to know someone that looked into becoming an NYPD cop. Now, when you consider that they've got, what the hell is that called? Home rule, or you're required to live in the area where you serve. It's common for teachers and police officers and that sort of thing. So you're required to live in New York City. The starting pay is something ridiculous, like under $40,000.
Yeah, but you don't have to live in Manhattan. You can live in Brooklyn or Queens or someplace like that.
But it's still ridiculously expensive.
But starting pay everywhere is sucky, Jay.
Right. What I'm getting at is you're talking about, you know, now granted, this was a while ago. So it may have changed since then. But, you know, at the time, this was not. This was not a huge sum. This was a barely entry level for someone with, again, you're looking for a college graduate. You're looking for someone with a degree in law enforcement or 4 years in the military, you know, 4 years of experience where you've had some background in some form of law enforcement.
Yep.
And you want, I mean, 40 grand in New York City is like 20 grand in, you know, Peoria.
You know what a sergeant in the NYPD makes?
I would imagine it's a lot of money.
$100,000 a year, average.
Yeah. Now, okay, I'm gonna step up and do the cop family thing and say those are skewed. I remember living in Massachusetts. The Herald would run every year the top 10 highest paid people in Massachusetts, and invariably, every year, some like lieutenant on Boston PD or the state police would be in the top like three.
Hmm.
And the reason is that the bastard's working like 90 plus hours a week.
Yeah, he gets a lot of overtime.
There's a lot of overtime. Now, you can make the case that a good amount of that overtime is like details on the pike where there's road construction and you're just sitting in your car for 8 hours a day. And that's not horribly difficult. No. But when you've worked an 8 hour day and then you put in another 8 hours and you do that 6 days a week, you're busting your ass. I don't care if it's just sitting around. Yeah. You're still there. If something happens, you are obligated to respond. So, you know, those numbers can be misleading. That sergeant may very well be volunteering for every detail he can get his hands on because he's got a kid in college. You know, he's got a kid in private school because the public schools suck, whatever. But my point is, you've got New York City cop making 40 grand a year, which is barely, I mean, that's barely scraping by for a single person living in a closet. And then this dude in Parkland making well into six figures as a school resource officer, which, let's face it, the odds are overwhelmingly in your favor that the most you're going to have to deal with is a fight between a couple of kids.
Right.
You know, I mean, in this particular case, we know who he is only because of what happened.
This school wasn't exactly in the hood.
Yes. Yes, exactly. You know, this wasn't in, you know, Compton, where you may very well get shot. Right. This was a well-to-do area. You know, again, the whole reason they had the big problem with this kid was they kept kind of ignoring all these things because they didn't want their stats to look bad. Right. So the fact that things were so good, they had to be concerned about, well, if we report this, then, you know, we get dinged for it.
Yeah. Whereas a shitty school in the hood, that's they don't even care.
That's the least of their concerns. Right. Oh, no, we've got a kid who is fighting with someone. Oh, heaven forfend.
Yeah.
You know, that there's that weird schism. And you can kind of see why people are so, like, polarized. Because if all you know is the dude that sits on his ass 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, and makes 140 grand, you're like, what the fuck? You're a brand new, just out of the academy NYPD guy, and you're like, I'm living in my grandparents' basement. And just barely paying my bills. You know, that wild disparity, which can we segue with that living in your parents' basement?
Yes.
It's about Greta again?
No. This is not noted rental property expert Greta Thunberg here. Now, this I have to segue for just a moment into the brave Antifa activist
who
took his landlord to court and said he wasn't going to pay during coronavirus. And then they did a little digging and found out that the landlord he was so bravely standing up to was, Alan, do you remember the story?
Oh, yeah, it's his mom.
Oh, my God.
Grandmother.
Grandmother, yeah.
Grandma. His Nana.
Yeah.
Nana had a rental property and let this little ungrateful fuckstick live in it.
Yeah.
And oh, that's right. Grandma knew that's what it was. He was taking his landlord. He was refusing to pay his rent because his landlord had accessed his tax information and knew that he'd gotten his stimulus check.
Okay.
There were two very important pieces of information missing from the initial report. One was that the landlord in question was his grandmother. And two, this little millennial shit had his grandmother do his taxes for him.
Oh, my God.
She knew. You know, it was like this, like, you know, his landlord intercepted his mail and knew. Yeah, no. Grandma filed your taxes for you, you lazy fuck.
So what happened? Did the court get?
He got his check. He got his check. He didn't pay his grandma the money he owed her.
Oh my God!
What a useless piece of shit!
How did he? Oh, wow!
And then when called on it, Grandma Mima's like, "Hey, I know you got your stimulus check because I do your taxes for you. Are you gonna pay me the money you owe me?" And apparently she was supposed to just not take rent, which, you know, that's a, it's a family thing, whatever.
Right.
But that's something I do want to talk about, is this whole idea that landlords are evil and there shouldn't be rent and there shouldn't be this and there shouldn't be that. And all these little fucking socialist prick bags who are just like, oh, those rich landlords. No, no, fuck you. Because the cities and the states aren't waiving the fucking property taxes.
No, they're not.
Nope.
They're absolutely not. So what you're saying is they should keep up the properties, pay the taxes, and not get any money.
Yes.
You know, everybody's got this fucking Joe Pesci in, what the fuck was that movie? The Super. You know, that every landlord is some rich slumlord. And there's just enough out there, I guess, for the stereotype to continue to exist. See, I worked with a guy who owned rental properties.
I know lots of people that own rental properties.
It is absolutely fucking thankless work that you are lucky if you break even.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you are lucky. This guy worked, you know, a full work week at the plant where we worked and would spend pretty much every night fixing something or cleaning out an apartment or dealing with.
Yeah, because your renters various are dirt bags that don't take care of your shit.
Oh, my God. Oh, I mean, the horror stories he could tell, you know, people who just for no other reason than they could would absolutely trash an apartment.
Sure.
I mean, break the windows, rip the plumbing out,
yep.
You know, turn the stoves the on and just fire, leave them on. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and it's infuriating, this whole, you know, go on a rent strike. I get an idea. How about if you starve in the dark?
Or if you do get them to move out, they strip the place of everything.
Yeah. You know, but this whole like Antifa, you know, that landlords shouldn't take rent. Well, you know what happens to that is eventually all of the people that rent properties go, fuck you, I'm done. And then there aren't any properties for you to live in. Is that what you want?
No, they want the government to step in and do it.
Yeah. You know, you want your look at the properties the government owns, folks. Do you really want to live there? There's a reason they're called the ghetto.
Well, not only that, but if, you know, if you take it to a meta level, you know, think about everything the government does.
Yep.
You know, think about, you know, whichever side of the political spectrum you happen to fall on, do a quick assessment of the government and at all levels, state, local, federal, and just give them a quick little report card on how they've handled the coronavirus.
Or anything for that matter.
And then and then apply that to, you know, anything else. do you really want the government to manage your health care? Do you really want the government to manage the property you live on? Do you really want the government? I mean, Jesus Christ, look what they've done to education. I mean, come on. This is
has anyone ever said, you know, I went to the Registry of Motor Vehicles today, and what a fast, efficient, pleasant service that was. No. You know, again, I go back to my father-in-law. Man, served honorably in the United States Navy, and he worked at a job that got him health care, so he didn't have to deal with the VA.
Yeah, because nobody wants to deal with the VA.
Because it's such a horrendous experience. You know, and my father-in-law, God bless him, was a frugal man. But he would go to a regular doctor rather than the VA doctor because he understood that was not the best care there was. So I don't know, this whole, it's like this comic cartoon image of the landlord has persevered. You know, that there's just Scrooge McDuck swimming in piles of gold who maintains these horrible rundown properties and charges people exorbitant fees to live there by putting a gun to their head.
Right. But if you think about it, those stereotypes all come from areas where the rental market is heavily regulated by the government.
Mm-hmm.
Where they have things like rent control. You know what happens when you have rent control? When you live in an apartment that would otherwise rent for, you know, $4,000 a month and you pay $500 a month because it's rent controlled, you know what happens when something breaks in that apartment?
Mm-hmm.
You fix it yourself.
Yep.
You know, what's the incentive to, you know, for the landlord to put a penny of anything into that disaster?
Especially because if you move out, they can then take that apartment and charge quadruple.
Right. Yep.
It just floors me that this is even a thing.
Well, because, you know, the free shit army, you know, is huge.
Well, yeah. But again, it's that whole lack of critical thinking. You know, that whole, it goes hand in hand with the failures in risk assessment. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, the fact that someone who's like, I'm not going to pay my rent. Well, you know, on the one hand, you know, yes, it's very, there are very extraordinary circumstances. And if you want to argue for, let's waive the overage fees, or not overage fees, but, you know, a late fee. Okay. I can be sympathetic to that. Times are tough. People are laid off. People are furloughed. People are taking pay cuts. Things are tough. Okay. You want to say, look, if I'm a week late, waive the late fee. Okay, I can be sympathetic to that. But they should waive all rent until this whole thing is behind us. Well, first of all, we see no indication that this is ever going to end.
Because doesn't feel like keep, it. That's, well,
that's,
for sure.
That's the whole plan, Jay.
They that's keep why moving the goalposts.
That's why the Democrats want everybody to stay home until the virus is gone, because it's never going to be gone. That's the plan, man.
Stay home until we have a vaccine. Yeah, like the vaccine for the common cold.
How do they think we're all going to live? I mean,
we're going to stay in our little domiciles. And
who will buy me my meat?
Well, the government will.
Speaking of meat, I wanted to make a mention this week that I got chicken thighs, bone in, skin on chicken thighs for 88 cents a pound.
Wow.
88 cents a pound. It's like, it was crazy. And you were allowed to buy two packages. And I can only think it was because they had that whole, like, panic with the coronavirus.
Yeah.
With the chicken farmers, and they didn't know what to do, and all the eggs, and what do we do with all the chicken, and, you know, slaughter all the chickens.
Yep.
Well, thank you. I have like 15 pounds. At least 15 pounds of chicken in my freezer now. Yeah, heck yeah. Nice. We went back the next day. So,
I'd be so happy.
We
did something similar. And it's not because, like, I buy into the whole, you know, there's going to be shortages. The problem is people are dumb, panicky idiots.
Right.
And when the news report says there could be shortages, what do people do? They shit their fucking pants and they run out to the store and buy everything they can. Whether or not they can use it, whether or not they have room for it, whether or not they've ever had it in their lives.
Right, I know.
Keep in mind, this is the same government that told you there'd be 2 million dead people from the coronavirus.
Right. Well, that's because the social distancing worked, Alan. Do you want grandma to die?
Yes.
People are still going through with this, you know. As soon as we reopen, we're going to see the death toll rise to the roof.
Yes.
Like, the same
that's
people
the
that
point.
Told you.
Second wave.
The same people that told you 2 million people were going to die in a best case scenario.
Yeah.
are now, you know, and it,
well, the whole thing started, the whole thing started to remember to lower the curve.
I thought we were going to talk about the virus. I'm sorry.
I know. I just, but the whole, it's like you say, Jay, they're moving the goalpost. We, you know, nobody remembers the whole, you know,
right.
back in the middle of March, the same number of people were going to die from the coronavirus. All we were going to do was limit the, you know, the run on the hospital beds. So right. everybody else didn't die too.
It was 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Right.
And that was that.
And now it's 6 months until we get a vaccine.
Right.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Right. Meanwhile, I got to get this in. We don't have much time left, and I got to get this in.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the wheels are totally coming off the fucking Obamagate bus.
Yeah, they are.
When you have President Trump tweeting about dragging Obama into Congress and making him testify under oath about what he knew and when did he know it, that bus doesn't even have axles. It's ground to a halt, and it's, you know, a smoking ruin on the side of the highway. I mean, this is,
they're panicking.
This is egregiously bad what they did. You know, I mean, they have proof, written proof, that the Obama administration was using the NSA telephone database to look up dirt on political opponents. They said of the tens of thousands of unmasking requests, 85% were illegitimate.
Hmm.
8 days before the Trump inauguration, Joe Biden asked for an unmasking of a conversation that Flynn was involved in. Why would the Vice President of the United States give a shit about anything 8 days before the next administration started?
Well, to be fair, to Joe Biden, he probably thought unmasking meant they would reveal who the unknown singer was.
They didn't have that back then.
Yeah, I know. But see, the whole thing is, though, Obama used the IRS to target his political enemies, and nobody gave a shit.
Well, yeah. People gave a shit. They just didn't, they, you know, audited, the media
did. They audited the Tea Party every year for like 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Nobody cared. Rush Limbaugh got audited every year for 8 years during the Clinton administration. Nobody cared.
If you look at the timeline that what's his name posted, shit. God damn
Schiff?
It. No, the
well, you said shit.
I said shit. No, there was one of the media guys. Was it shit? Who was it? You know what I'm talking about.
Moving on.
Anyway, the timeline, there's a timeline of this, right? So they started off from 2008 to 2012, they used the IRS.
Yep.
Starting in 2012, they used the NSA database. And they used it from 2012 through 2017, and they were so sure that Hillary would be elected that they could go on doing what they've been doing. And then when Trump got elected, that's when they panicked. And that's when they targeted Flynn, because they knew Flynn would come in and discover all this shit and, you know, and drag them all out in the sunlight. So they had to stop Flynn. That's how this whole thing started. They'd stop Flynn. Yep. And then they'd use Flynn to discredit Trump and get rid of Trump. Now, I don't know what they, you know, I don't know what they were thinking at that point, because that's just Looney Tunes. But still.
Underpants.
I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever wanted to get rid of Trump. I think they just wanted to keep him tied up.
Yeah, they wanted to keep him tied up. They wanted to keep him discredited. Yeah, exactly. Until the next election where they can win.
You keep Trump on the defensive.
But here's the thing. we have incontrovertible proof that the Obama administration, for political reasons, was using the NSA database of phone calls. And this is not this is not the metadata of phone calls. This is not, you know, where was this phone located on this date at this time, which is you know, recorded by the phone company. This is the actual recordings of actual calls from, you know, actual U.S. citizens to people outside the U.S. Because that's, you know, that's what they record is calls. You call somebody from outside the U.S., your call gets recorded. You call somebody inside the U.S., your call gets recorded. I mean, come on. Anybody that doesn't believe that happens is Looney Tunes. But regardless. So they're trolling this NSA database looking for dirt on, why do you think Roberts has turned into such a... I mean, come on. Time after time after time, these people have used this against their political enemies. And now they're caught.
And they would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you meddling kids.
And now they're caught. And, you know, of course, the big thing is now is this going to be, is something actually going to happen, or is nothing going to happen? Like, you know, normal, right? I don't know.
Depends on how hard Trump pushes, I think.
I'm hoping, because Trump really doesn't give a fuck.
It doesn't appear that he does. That, you know,
that you know, this will get, you know, drug out into the you know, cleanliness of sunlight. But, you know,
it's boring. That's the problem. It's not titillating. You know, it's the whole, you know, ooh, Trump is a Russian asset, and the fact that that was ever a thing, because the thought that the left actually gave a shit about Russia when they haven't for the past 50 fucking years, that alone, tells you how big of a fucking bullshit thing this was. This was, you know, the left.
Since when did the left care about Trump, the Russians meddling in the U.S.? I mean, come on.
Right. You know, they deliberately.
Maybe when they stopped being commies or something. You know.
The word McCarthyism is in the lexicon because of the left. The man, he was right, but he was an asshole.
Yep. He was kind of like the Schiff of his day.
Yeah. Except Schiff wasn't right.
Yeah, well, except Schiff wasn't right. Yeah.
You know, that's the whole thing, is like they used McCarthy's bully tactics and the fact that he was an unpleasant, unlikable, just 6 foot tall sack of dog shit masquerading as a human being, and gloss over the fact that, oh, there actually were a bunch of communists in Hollywood and in the government.
Right.
Actively working to overthrow the government. But Joe McCarthy said mean things. You know, and ever since then, you know, you got Arthur Miller and the Crucible and, you know, oh, look at the witch trials and we haven't learned anything. Yeah. Flash forward to 2016 and the fact that Flynn talked to the Russians after Trump was elected, like, i.e. in the capacity of his expected job.
Right.
Is grounds for him to be thrown in jail and Trump to be removed from office. Huh? How did we go from I can see Russia from my house just 8 short years ago? Oh, look at that stupid inbred hick who thinks Russia is a threat. I guess that was 12 years ago. I'm sorry. I'm maffing on port. Don't do this, kids. But 8 short years ago, you had Mitt Romney being ridiculed for having a plan about Russia.
Yep.
2016, 4 short years later, the Russians went from, oh, Mitt Romney's so stupid, he still thinks the Russians are a problem, to, oh my God, Trump is a Russian agent. And yet, people went with it. Right up to impeachment. Now, I hope that the Republicans have already drawn up articles of impeachment against Joe Biden, just in case.
It won't
just
matter.
Because
Joe Biden won't be the candidate.
He won't.
But there's no way.
They should already have the articles written, just in case. Because the left has set the formula.
Well, they already have.
We lost.
Did you see the interview with Stephanopoulos?
Is this where he went full Gary Busey and started talking to the light fixtures?
No, he Stephanopoulos asked him, what did he know about Flynn? And got, and Biden was like, well, I didn't know anything at all. I knew nothing about it. He went full.
See, there you go, Alan.
I knew nothing.
It's out in the open.
Nothing. Yeah. He's been asked about it.
He didn't know anything. It's done.
But then Stephanopoulos.
Why are you bringing up old news?
But then Stephanopoulos did something totally unusual. He pressed him on it. He said, but.
Really? Oh, like Micah. Goes,
he said, but you were in the Oval Office and you were briefed about this, and then he had to backpedal and go, oh well, you know.
I wonder why. I mean, if he's the assumed candidate, why are they suddenly trying to be journalists?
Because they're laying because the groundwork
be the
for
candidate.
Him.
Yeah.
They're laying the groundwork for him to be Torricelli.
Who will take his place?
And or I'm going to throw this out there. It's May.
Yeah.
There's 6 months until the election.
Oh, he's going to die of COVID-19.
No, they can get it out and say it's old news.
Exactly. They do it now. Yeah. And then when Trump brings it up in October, it's going to be like, we talked about this months ago. We went through this months ago. Trump must be desperate to be bringing up this old news. It's a playbook they've run with over and over again.
What difference does it make now?
Exactly. Exactly. Why on earth would you want to talk about Benghazi? That's old news. Right. I've been through it. I've been asked about it dozens of times. Why do I have to keep going through this? How many more times do I have to explain this? A lot like, you know, Tara Reid.
Yeah, they're already doing that. They're already doing that with Tara Reid. They're already doing, well, this is old news.
Yeah. Yeah. We've already done
He's
this.
He's denied it. What do you want?
Exactly. I believe Joe. Yeah. I thought we were supposed to believe all women.
Wasn't
that like a hashtag 2 years ago?
You get the ones that say, I believe Joe. Then you get the ones that say, yeah, I believe her, but I don't give a shit.
Yeah. At least they're honest.
Yep. Yeah. I don't care. I believe her. I wonder. I know Joe's a dirtbag, but I don't care. I'll vote for him anyway.
Yep. He's not Trump.
That's because we have to beat Trump.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, well, Trump is a first of all, the Trump is a serial rapist. It's like, back the truck up. Because so far, the most we've got is some crude locker room talk from 2005. And a bunch of uncorroborated stories. With Biden, you have a dedicated timeline with other people involved.
Plus, everybody's seen how he acts. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
The groping, the hair sniffing. I mean, Jesus Christ. And that's what he does in public when cameras are pointed at him.
Right.
Imagine what he does on camera. Yeah. Imagine what he does behind closed doors when he's, you know, in private. Jesus Christ. How many times did Biden go to Epstein's Island? Do we know? Has anybody
looked?
That's
a good question.
I don't know. Or, I don't think
you know
Clinton
what?
Wanted
Biden,
to share a plane with him.
Biden doesn't really, you know, I don't think Biden has like the young girl thing that like Clinton and a lot of those other guys have. I think Biden literally doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's like, ooh, a girl.
I think if anything, it's more of a power thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those, it's the kids in the presence of the parents. Yeah. And it's like, look what I can do right in front of your parents.
Yeah.
And they can't do anything.
And they're not
going
to say anything. Yeah.
It's, you know, he's just being creepy. I have heard nothing, nor have I seen anything to make me think that he's interested in any of them in that way. I really think it's just a power thing. He clearly has to know he's making them uncomfortable. When they move away from him, and he... Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that he enjoys touching kids. It's that he likes knowing he can do it in front of their parents and they can't do a fucking thing about it.
Yeah.
He is a petty little fucking bully.
But he does it. He does it.
Listen to his talk. Listen to his talk. What did he do to, what did he say to the auto worker? Do you want to step outside? Joe, you're a fucking 75-year-old feeble senile man. And right. This is a 20-something-year-old auto worker. He would literally rip you apart and shit on your corpse. Except that you have large Secret Service agent armed with machine guns right next to you. He is a fucking bully. He's a petty thug.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. Yep. He enjoys that power. It's a power rush. It's I can do this and you can't stop me. Which when you think about it.
Well, at his age, he really can't do anything else. So
it's like shooting pool with a rope. Yeah. But when you think about it, I can do this and you can't stop me. It's kind of like the Democratic Party's mantra, isn't it?
Yep. Pretty much.
I'm Bill Clinton. I can fly to Lolita Island and you can't stop me. We're going to prevent Jeffrey Epstein from testifying and you can't stop us.
Yep.
I'm going to keep sensitive government emails on my private server and you can't stop me.
We're going to look up all this dirt on our political enemies in the NSA database. And there's not a thing you can do about it.
We are going to weaponize government agencies against our political opponents, and you can't stop us.
Yep. And honestly, I'm still not convinced. I mean, I'm happy that Trump's shining a light on it, and I'm happy he's saying stuff, but I'm still not convinced anything's going to happen.
I would be shocked if anything happened.
I would be so happy.
Oh,
if it did, but I have zero confidence because the one thing the lizards
can you
do
imagine?
Is protect their own.
Well, Trump isn't a lizard, though, you know?
No, but he has a lot of lizards working for him.
True. Okay, fine. But I don't think he cares.
Yeah, I don't think he does either. That's the one glimmering hope.
Imagine him exposing all this sort of shit and people all across the country will be saying to themselves, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah.
Imagine the landslide.
Which is why we have to crash the economy into the ground on fire.
But you know what the Democrats will say, Brita? The free shit army?
Mm-hmm.
They won't care.
Yeah.
They literally, the 47% of the population that makes their living off of taxpayers and the free shit.
Yeah.
They're going to vote for Democrats, and they don't. They literally don't care.
Yep.
I
believe Tara Reid, but I'm going to vote for Joe Biden anyway.
Right. Yeah.
I believe Obama spied on his political enemies, but so what? I get a free check.
Yep.
Well, I don't know.
I get $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
That's the Pelosi proposal.
Yep.
We're going to give you $2,000.
I believe in the American people.
And the Democrats won't cut off my abortion.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out
Trump
how
won.
Abortion was essential.
Well, you know what's funny is
but breast cancer.
Yeah.
Screening was not.
Yeah. My congressman.
Crenshaw.
Dan Crenshaw has a podcast and he had a guy they were talking about, healthcare and a bunch of other shit. But anyway, they were talking about about abortion in the U.S. And he said the abortion in the U.S. is different from like almost any other country in the world. He goes, you get national healthcare socialists that come here from other countries, England and Germany and France and all those places where the cutoff is 12 weeks. Yeah. If you haven't had an abortion by 12 weeks, you're having a baby. Because that's how they do it in Europe. And he said, those people come over here and they're like, oh, yeah, Democrats, abortion, yeah. And then he goes, you tell them that what these people want is to be able to have an abortion right up to the moment the baby's born. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? They're appalled. They're like, holy shit, this is so wrong.
Or after, if you listen to my governor.
Right. So it's like we're, you know, this cult of abortion that's happened in the U.S. is some bizarre death cult that is going on that doesn't really happen anywhere else in the world, except maybe China, you know, or North Korea. Yeah, you know, it's like everybody else in the rest of the world, when they find out, you know, what it's really like here in the U.S., they're like, ah.
I would work on the campaign of someone who came out and used the anti-gun talk on abortion. We don't want to make your abortions illegal. We just want common sense abortion control. 90% of Americans believe there should be limits on abortion. And just, you could literally take and all of those releases, change guns to abortion, and you would have people with torches and pitchforks. All of a sudden the number of Handmaid's Tale miniseries would spike by a zillion.
Oh yeah, it'd be the end of the world.
I'm still trying to figure this out. You know, Trump gets elected, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's going to force women to carry babies to term, and other than the fact that he's said he personally doesn't care for it, what has he done?
Nothing. Well, Orange Man Bad. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Plus, Pence! You know, oh my God, Pence!
He won't have dinner with a woman.
He won't have, you know, yeah, like exactly. He won't have a dinner with a woman.
Pay for
he
it.
Must, you know.
And all of a sudden, we shouldn't pay for your abortion becomes you want to force women into, you force poor women into becoming brood mares for the rich. Like,
yes, huh? That's exactly what happens, Jay.
There's no steps in between there.
Yes.
Steps in between. Maybe you should pay for your own abortion.
In fact, that's one of the reasons I'm trying to become a millionaire, so I can have my, you know, stable of brood mares, you know, because that's what you get, right?
In those so attractive Puritan nun outfits. So yes. I'm just like,
oh yeah, because that'll happen.
Did you forget?
All right, we are so over time now. We've completely lost it.
Over and punchy and
yep.
Everybody's punchy. Mike is punchy. Yeah. He comes home and he's ranting every single day after work. I was like, just drink your beer. And relax. You're home now. It's okay.
You've made it home.
Everything is fine.
Well, everybody have a good weekend.
Yes. Have a great week, everybody.
Yes. And, we will see you next Squirrel Time, same That's Squirrel right. channel.
Bye. Okay.